Live from the center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday.
Ruskin and Zach with you. On the radio in Northwest Arkansas on ESPN 99.5. Around the state on ESPN Arkansas and streaming on HitThatLine.com. It is a Manic Monday brought to you by Biddle Armstrong Insurance. We got phone lines open. We got texts ready to be read. 866-285-4005. Lots of football to get into as Razorbacks are still a couple weeks away, but Arkansas State took advantage of the opportunity of being the only team in our state playing on national TV Saturday. And they beat Kansas State on Fox.
First Power 5 win for Blake Anderson. First Power 5 win for Arkansas State in forever.
2008 was the last time.
It was fun. I mean, did you watch the whole thing? I mean, it was a good game. It was a really good game.
I watched most of it, and it was just so... I can't imagine if you were actually a Red Wolf fan. Like, I didn't care who won. But if you were an A-State fan... The last 20 seconds that just took forever, and there was a penalty in there, there was a stupid penalty, and just, on and on and on. It's just excruciating to finally get the clock on zeros. But here's the deal. Like, A-State had a moment. Okay, cool. But now, you got to figure out, like, what are you? Is this, like, a nice story that makes us feel good, or do you want to be a player in the group of five? And if you want to be a player in a group of five... I know that they've reworked Blake Anderson's contract, but you got to keep that guy. You got to pay him more than $825,000. That's what you got to do. And I don't know if A-State is happy with this, the aftermath of Saturday, or if they really want to be a factor in the group of five, because I think they could do it.
This is one of those very weird programs, sort of along the, it's like that level below Boise State, where no matter what they do, it seems to turn to gold. And Blake Anderson, I think, genuinely loves being in Jonesboro, and this only solidifies that. But you're right. If you're going to keep him and
this is your moment.
This is the moment. And this has to become more routine. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. You just beat a Power 5 program. How do you deal with success? You got UCA rolling into town next weekend. How do you deal with success? You can't go out, beat K-State, and then lose to UCA. You can't do it. That will be that. That would everything you just accomplished gets washed away if somehow you go and drop one to UCA.
No.
But if you watch the way that team played, look, Logan Bonner, thanks. Lane Hatcher's the quarterback of that football team, and Jonathan Adams is a man. He is a man among boys out there. He could have had three or four touchdowns. They counted a couple.
No.
That dude can flat out play. They've got some guys. Are they an elite? Top of a Power 5 conference? No, but they can win a couple games.
It is the first Power 5 win the state has seen since 2017 when Arkansas beat Ole Miss.
There's something.
I don't think UCA has beat a Power 5 team, but they've been good too. So
it was a lot.
I mean, it's fun. It's a nice story. Great. But, I mean, you got to build. The iron is white hot now. You got to build on this with recruiting. Like, this is the moment. This means what happened Saturday means more than winning the Camellia Bowl or whatever the hell bowl they play in every year. I mean, that didn't mean anything. This means something because everybody saw it. So this is their moment.
I'll give Blake Anderson credit, and he and his staff and their sort of mentality. They've gone after the Pat Hill out of Fresno State. Remember him back in the 90s? They would play anybody, anywhere, anytime. They won a couple, lost most of them, but they won a couple. And that's how Fresno State built its name. Bobby Bowden did this with Florida State in the 80s. Florida State would play anyone, anywhere, anytime. They won a bunch of them, and then they became the power that they are. I'm not saying Arkansas State's on that trajectory, but I'll give them credit for this. They will play anybody. They had Michigan on the schedule this year.
No.
So they go, they beat Kansas State. Now you have to deal with success. Everybody's real happy. Everybody's excited. UCA's rolling into town. That's not a bad football team. You have to win that game, and you got to do it and be impressive. Then you got to go win the Sun Belt. That's how you do this, and you got to do it over a period of time. And Blake Anderson is the guy.
He's
making $825 plus whatever.
$825 they extended through 2023. This earlier this year.
The thing is, Blake's going to wind up on some Power 5 team's radar if this keeps up. at A-State and Jonesboro, you got to do everything you can to hold them. It was a great day. I'm not an Arkansas State fan, but I like Blake Anderson a lot. I sat and was cheering for A-State as they were going down to win the damn thing.
No.
And whatever you do, throw it to that Adams kid.
No, he's pretty good. Yeah, Hatcher made the throw before the touchdown, I think, or maybe a couple plays before the touchdown. He threw a ball to the sideline that was just right out of the sky into the perfect spot. And I'm just like, well, I mean, you can keep doing this Bonner thing. That's cute, but there's your guy right there. I mean, that's
here's Randy. I was cheering for, this is a text. I was cheering for A-State. Love Blake Anderson. Tired of people talking about A-State being a better program than the Razorbacks. Well, here, real simple, Randy. Go win a freaking football
tell
game.
Tell me why Arkansas is a better program than Arkansas State today. I'm so dying to hear this explanation. Money? Facilities?
That's it?
Is that it? Is that what you got?
They're in a better conference? Buildings?
They're crap in a better conference. So that makes them better than Arkansas. Like, I'm ready to hear. Let's hear it. I want to hear this because this is always, there is nothing I expected more today than the start about starting on Arkansas State and have the Arkansas fans who are jealous, who've got a case of the red ass because they didn't get a national TV win over Kansas State on Saturday and haven't had one in 3 years. And I knew they would. I knew they'd be a butthurt today. And here we are already. Here we are. But explain to me what it is. Is it the TV money? Is that it? What is it? I really want to know.
You build better buildings. You have a better deal with your. You better have a better apparel deal on the field. It's not close. It's not close. There's Arkansas State's a rock solid program.
There's only one way to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way to fix this. 3 years. 3 years since you beat a Power 5 opponent.
Go get one.
But keep talking. Just keep talking. Please keep talking. It's great for my business when you keep talking. Just keep talking that. Like these dumbasses who on Saturday saw the Notre Dame game and said, well, Arkansas should have beat them today. How in the name of Christ can you watch Notre Dame play and look at the bleep show you've put on the field for the last couple years and reach any sort of deluded sense of reality that Arkansas would have given Notre Dame a game on Saturday because Duke hung around for a little bit? You are out of your bleeping mind if that's your reaction after seeing the Notre Dame Duke school. You and I don't live in the same, you're in a parallel universe, man. I want to find this universe. I want to find this universe where Arkansas, in spite of 19 straight SEC losses, is superior in everything that they do all the time, every day. Like, I want to know where that is. Where is that place? Because I haven't found it yet. But man, some of you people are just out of your godforsaken mind.
Now, because it's possible that they could go beat Kansas.
Who?
Arkansas?
Well, you don't just have the Chanticleer show up and roll the helmets out there.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Now,
you just roll them out there and... Has anybody checked on Brian today?
I don't... Well, Brian's a Texas fan. He's fine.
Well, no, you know, he's a Les Miles guy.
He's a Texas fan. I know that it is bad for me to have these feelings in my heart, but I can't help but be so excited every time this Kansas Les Miles, Jeff Long, Bo Mattingly experience just goes to crap every single week. It's so beautiful. It's so I may weep, Zach. I'm telling you, I may weep. I may get emotional. It's so great.
Did you watch
time.
Any of it?
Yeah, I watched early and then I fell asleep.
It wasn't a fluke. Coastal Carolina was a better team.
They were the better team. It's beautiful.
It's very rare you're going to see a Power 5 program get whipped by somebody. I don't even is Coastal Carolina in a conference?
They're in the Sun Belt.
Okay, they're in the Sun Belt.
The Sun Belt went 3-0 against the Big 12 on Saturday, and the third win was Louisiana and Billy Napier.
Who the hell's Napier? I am getting Cam Malore on the show because he was singing the praises of Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy this, Brock Purdy that.
Tim Brando had Iowa State in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Preseason.
Yes, he did.
You might have to let Timmy B know that he's going to have to change that pick.
Yeah.
Because that's not happening.
I believe that. It was fun this weekend. We had upsets. We had good games. We had close games. Yeah. And we had the most Chad Morris moment ever. When a bunch of
Auburn still has 20 COVID cases?
No. Chad Morris assistants down at UTSA give up a 92-yard return.
Oh, Barry.
To tie the game.
My friend, the inventor, the architect of the French mistake, Barry Lunny Jr. Get out of here. Why don't you go pick on another radio host at a grocery store, Barry? Notre Dame looked impressive.
Unimpressive. According to Steven.
Yes, but that doesn't mean your team, who isn't any good, could have gone up there and beat them. You know, two things are true, can be true at the same time. They can be unimpressive, and you still not be ready for that game to beat them.
Let me offer another. Maybe Duke's okay. David Cutcliffe can coach.
That can't be
it. Oh, no, that can't be the narrative. No.
That can't be
it. Maybe Duke's okay.
That can't be it. All right, 866-285-4005. Trying to find our way into the alternate universe where Arkansas is superior to everyone else in the state at football, in spite of the fact that they haven't won a Power 5 game in 3 years. So looking for the portal, maybe if I open, maybe your car's got the flux capacitor in it and we can go to this other universe or something. I don't know. We'll do news coming up.
Live across Arkansas,
this is Ruskin and Zach.
All right, 26 of the hour, Ruskin and Zach. Check in now with Andrew Hutchinson, hogbeat.com, live at football practice and through the screen. You're clean, right? You've been screened and you're sterilized and sanitized and all that stuff, right?
I have been cleared, checked in at a 99.2 temperature, so a little bit high. But
99.2.
I'm still clear.
You're as good as dead. 99.2. Anybody get that last will and testament written?
Okay. So it's good to have you with us, Hutch. What do you get into observe today, observing yesterday? Like, what, anything stand out, or is it just, you know, we need a game so we get new stuff to talk about here?
Yeah, we've gotten to the point where we probably need a game to really have something new to talk about. I mean, the most interesting stuff from these practices is, of course, who is and isn't there, but we've been asked not to report that stuff, which I guess I can understand. You know, don't want to give Georgia any type of advantage than they already have by just being a superior team. It's always good to get out here. It's just 15 minutes. We get to see guys do individual drills. I mean, really, it's guys flying around, pads popping, stuff like that. It's your generic, football practice.
What's the tight end situation look like? I mean, people are losing their minds over this thing that there's no inline tight end that they can line up and you know, hit people with.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been the most interesting, or one of the most interesting positions to watch, because it seems like they're adding a new guy to the group at all, you know, throughout camp. I mean, Blaine Tolman back and forth between tight end and defensive end. It seems like he's sticking at tight end now. He's a big physical guy that can probably give you some of that blocking that they're looking for out of that position. And Eric Thomas is his name, a guy that was recruited as a defensive end, listed as a linebacker, moved to tight end. Now he's back to linebacker, defensive end, so he's been moving around. It's interesting. I still think Hudson Henry is going to be your guy catching all the passes. He's going to be the guy that gets targeted a lot. You're going to see guys like Blake Kern, Blaine Toll, Nathan Back. Those guys are going to get lots of run, you know, blocking, and they may catch a pass or two in the flats, but your big play tight end guy is still going to be Hudson Henry. I feel very confident in that as we're less than 2 weeks out.
What did anything stand out when they let you see 11-on-11 under the lights last week?
Man, that was, first of all, it was awesome just to be out there. I mean, it felt like football. I mean, it was a cool night, you know, cool breeze under the lights. I mean, it was just, it just felt like football. Really, the thing that stood out was just it was hard to have anything stand out because they weren't full pads. They weren't tackling. But you did get to see, Felipe Franks leading an offense going up against a defense. So that was cool to see. That was kind of my big takeaway. It was just kind of seeing the presence that Felipe Franks has at the quarterback spot, and it's always nice to be. It's kind of refreshing to have a basically a QB1, even though it hasn't been named yet. Having him basically be QB1, whereas the last 2 years you've had a consistent, 3 weeks into the season.
Nobody believes that Sam Pittman, when he says, "Well, we're not going to start working on George until Friday." No, nobody's buying that. But how much teaching is still going on? How much are they teaching fundamentals at this point, or are they in full game plan mode?
I mean, I honestly kind of believe them when they say they're not starting until Friday. It seems like everything, obviously, only gets to be 15 minutes, and all of that, individual drills, and it is a lot of teaching fundamentals. Yesterday, I was on a defensive practice field, and I was positioned right in front of the defensive tackles, and I got to see Coach LeBlanc really just coaching the guys up. I mean, you hardly even got to see a few reps. I mean, it would be like a rep and then a solid minute and a half or two of him coaching up whoever it was that just went, trying to get the technique just right and stuff like that. So they're still doing a lot of the fundamental type stuff, and they may be, like, looking at film of Georgia right now. That would not surprise me, but it doesn't seem like they've gotten into it, actually on the field with a scout team and things like that yet.
We're talking with Andrew Hutchinson, hogbeat.com, here on Ruskin and Zach. But it's been... I guess it's not shocking, but I've been pleasantly surprised with how normal it's felt. I mean, sure, they've got, the whistles are different and there's masks everywhere, but, I mean, watching some of these college football games, I mean, it's been like watching football games.
Yeah, I mean, it has really been like watching football, as you said. I mean, the product is, you could tell a little bit, it seems like it's a little bit sloppy. I mean, that Navy-BYU game back on Labor Day was pretty ugly from the tackling standpoint of Navy, but, they didn't tackle at all during preseason, so that was kind of to be expected. And special teams have left a little bit to be desired, and you see some weird stuff, like the guy that for Arkansas State against Kansas State that was playing both ways. You don't see that very often. You had the Austin Peay long snappers were missing, and from the UCA game, that really cost them the game. So, I mean, you see stuff like that. Depth is more important than ever this year. But other than that, if you were just watching the game on mute without any type of commentary or anything like that, it looks like a college football game, and that's been refreshing. It's given me something to watch on the weekend.
Andrew, you have perspective on this from last year's staff to this year's staff. I was talking to a player who told me that the level of detail in coaching that they're getting now versus what they got the year before, where it's more technique oriented and looking for cues and keys and leans and all sorts of different things and teaching these kids basically how to play the sport versus what they got last year, which was just run around, see if you can find a football. Are you noticing that when you see them in individual drills, the attention to detail from this staff?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of touched on it earlier, is that, watching the defensive tackle specifically yesterday, I mean, it was truly a lot of attention to detail. I mean, you would never see that much standing around in one period under the previous staff. I mean, it just seemed like they wanted to go, even if what they were doing was not necessarily right. And I think that kind of carried over on the game days, is, the mistakes they were making in practice were happening on Saturdays. And you'd like to think that, the little things they messed up on last year are not going to happen this year just because they've had it drilled in their heads so much during practice. I mean, it really does seem like they are focusing heavily on teaching and coaching and stuff, at least during these individual periods. Obviously, we don't get to see what it looks like in scrimmages and stuff like that, and they probably do go a little bit faster in those situations. But during these individual periods, which we got to see a lot of last year and the year before that, it does seem like there's a lot more coaching going on, and it's kind of been refreshing.
Do you have a win total, or do you not do that since you're a reporter, or how does that all work?
I'll probably do a game-by-game prediction probably a week out, maybe this coming Saturday. But if I had to say right now, I'm kind of leaning toward I want to say either one or two wins. I don't think they go winless. Maybe that's me being super optimistic. But I think they find a way to win a game. I think they win. I think they maybe split the Mississippi schools. I'm kind of leaning toward Ole Miss, and then maybe get the Missouri game late in the year, assuming everyone stays healthy and is able to play and everything during that really brutal stretch of games.
Are you comfortable with the front four? I mean, if they're going to go four down, can they get pressure with the front four without having to bring five or six or seven to try and move the quarterback off his spot?
Yeah, I think they are. I think that's going to be better. I mean, is it going to be great? Probably not, but it's going to be better than what we've seen in recent years. I think Julius Coates, at least he looks the part. I mean, there was a practice earlier in camp where he ran off to the sideline right next to me, and I mean, he is just a physical specimen, just very large and really looks the part of an SEC defensive end. And then another guy that I'm really excited to see what he can do this year as a fifth-year senior is Jonathan Marshall. I mean, he's the strongest guy on the team, and he might be a guy like we saw with Armon Watts a couple of years ago, kind of a, didn't really do a ton early on in his career, and then breaks out in his fifth year and maybe gets a shot in the NFL.
One more question. I know you got to get to practice. Linebackers, have they settled on two or three? Is there going to be a hybrid? I mean, not that you'd have the answer to all of this, but have they settled on at least the inside linebackers?
I don't think so. I mean, it's still just every time we see them, it seems like there's someone else in there, and they're just trying to get guys in. I do feel a little bit better now than I did before after hearing what Sam Pittman said after the second scrimmage with Isaiah, or with Levi Draper, the grad transfer from Oklahoma. Really, he said he kind of starting to learn the defense, and things are slowing down for him, and I think that's really good. And I'm still not 100% sold on guys like Deion Edwards and Andrew Parker being ready to contribute, but you know, maybe they can at least be a solid depth guy there if you know, Draper or a Bumper Pool or a Grant Morgan, those guys, whoever's starters, you know, if they need a break, maybe they have a little bit of depth there. And you're obviously going to need depth this year in case of a you know, COVID-19, you know, either positive tests or self the tracing, quarantines, things like that. So I still, that's probably my biggest concern on the team right now is linebacker. Just who's it going to be? What's the depth going to look like? And things like that. That's probably my number one concern, and probably the reason I don't know if the defense is going to be, you know, maybe middle of the pack. I still think they're going to struggle, and I think it's because of that linebacker spot.
Yeah, I mean, you're an Arkansas alum. Are you comfortable with Eddie from Waldron rewriting the words to the fight song?
I have not heard it.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. I got it. I got you, man.
Oh, boy.
Just, this is Ty
line,
singing.
Hit that line. It's Razorback football time.
Have you heard enough?
That is, you know, I'm not one to critique someone's singing abilities because I am not. I don't have a musical bone in my body, but at least I don't put it out there in public.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, that's Andrew Hutchinson, who was super nice saying that sucked.
In Ty's defense, they just sent him lyrics. They didn't send him any like musical charts, so he didn't know how. I don't know if he could read music anyway, but he didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance when you just send words. I mean, you're just making it up. All right. We'll let you go to practice, Hutch. Thank you so much.
The Razorback Talk Show designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
We're back here on Ruskin and Zach, and we take you where the news is. And the news is happening in the Big Ten and in Columbus. And Steve Hellwagon for Bucknuts.com is with us here on Ruskin and Zach to break this all down for us. Hey, Steve, thanks for taking time today.
Yeah, great to be here.
So what changed with the Big Ten? Was it seeing other games happening? I mean, what the technology, like what brought this this really kind of title shift with the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think what happened was, okay, take Ohio State for example, 130 years of tradition of playing football every year, and you take that away, I don't think Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten or the presidents, were prepared for the backlash that they got. And then you had Justin Fields did a petition to try and bring back the season. The parents did a couple of rallies, one in Chicago, one in Columbus. The Michigan people did a rally in Ann Arbor. Nebraska players sued the Big Ten, and that led to some airing of some dirty laundry, I think, that the conference didn't want out there. And then you had people, you know, Clay Travis for one, and different people on Twitter and in media that just kept beating the drum that, you know, why can't the Big Ten play? In Ohio, you've got high school football going into week four now. The Bengals and Browns, the NFL, are playing, and they're playing in a game tonight against one another with fans in the stands. Notre Dame last week played a game against Duke with 20,000 people in the stands at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend, Indiana, which is right in the heart of the Big Ten footprint. So West Virginia's playing, Louisville's playing, Cincinnati is playing a game this coming week, and yet here you had Ohio State kind of like the six-year-old going to its mom and saying, why can't I go outside and play with the other kids? And the only answer is because I told you so. There was no no real good answer or explanation why they couldn't. So they got some things clarified with fast result testing. I heard one of the doctors on the radio today saying on game day they can get a result in 15 minutes, which will tell you theoretically you're putting two clean teams on the field and no chance for spread during a live game. So that's good. And, you know, they're going to make a go of it. So we've seen games canceled. I mean, Houston was supposed to play Memphis, and that got canceled, and Virginia Tech haven't been able to play their game. And so, you know, I think there'll be some cancellations or pushbacks along the way, but Big Ten is going to try and make a go of it starting October 24th.
When they finally got their story straight and released the vote, it was pretty decisive. All the presidents said, no, we're not going to play. Are they unanimous in the idea that now we're going to go forward? Is this still something that that's somewhat undecided? They're going to do it, but not everybody's happy.
Well, I think they took a holistic approach to this, and they had the medical aspect of it, the football aspect of it, and even the TV aspect of it, because that's all you're playing for now is the television revenue, since there are no fans in the stands. And each of these schools realized about $55 million in television revenue last year. Ohio State, for one, is going to be out about $60 or $70 million in gate receipts and luxury suites and parking and, you know, the live dollars that come in from hosting the games. But so all that was factored in. I don't want to say money was a driving force, but I think it was something that was discussed. Is this worth the trouble? Is this worth the risk that we're taking to do this? And I think the medical was what drove it at the end of the day, that kind of brought the no's over to the yeses, that you know, they're going to be testing 120 players and up to 50 staff members six times a week throughout the season at each of these Big Ten schools. And again, if somebody does come down with a positive test, they're going to be exiled from the group for 3 weeks. And if they hit certain benchmarks, a percentage of the total community of 170 people or whatever it is, I don't have the exact percentages in front of me, then they may stop practicing, they may stop playing. So they've got safeguards in place. Sounds like they have done everything they could to make it as clean a playing field as they possibly could, and you know, going to go out and try and see what happens. That's all you can do.
We're talking with Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.com here on Ruskin and Zach about this Big Ten football situation. So as much as the most loyal Big Ten fan would admit, it seems to me like the SEC kind of got this right. They waited. The SEC hasn't even started the season yet, and it'll start next week. But the SEC waited until the end of September. Couldn't the Big Ten have done that all along and avoided a month's worth of PR disaster?
Yeah, that would have been nice had they taken that approach, and now they've kind of backed themselves into a hole here, because their teams are going to play 8 games in 8 weeks, at least that's what they're scheduled, and then they're doing something unique on the championship Saturday, December the 19th. The top team in each division will play in the championship game, theoretically in Indianapolis as always, but then the second team in each division will play each other, and so far and so forth down to the seventh team, so everybody will get a ninth game out of this, and nobody knows what the bowl picture will be after that, but certainly there's going to be a playoff, it would seem, all things considered equal. So the winner of that championship game, I would think, if barring the fact they're a three-loss team, will probably be in that playoff, and you know, that's what they're going to push for. I know Ohio State's going for a fourth straight Big Ten championship and a return trip to the playoff. They were installed number two in the coaches' poll and the AP poll before all the cancellations and everything. So the hope is that if they can run the table and win the Big Ten, that they'll be right there in that Final Four field with whoever comes out of the ACC, the SEC, and probably the Big 12. And it's kind of cut and dry. You take the four champions of those Power Five conferences that are playing, although, you know, it is possible one of them could be a two- or three-loss team and get supplanted by maybe a one-loss non-champion from another conference. But, yeah, they did back themselves into a hole. And if for some reason a week comes and you can't play, there's nowhere to make that up.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the rationale or the thought's going to be. They could have started October 17th and built in an extra week, but for whatever reason, they're going October 24th.
They're 5 weeks away from the start of this. Are they going to re-release the schedule, amend the schedule that they released back in August? How does the scheduling in all of this work?
Yeah, it's complicated. The original schedule had them playing 9 Big Ten games. Then the one that was released early August had them playing 10 Big Ten games, and now they're only going to play 8. So the prevailing thought is they're going to go back to the first one that had 9 games, and you would just eliminate one of your crossover opponents. In this case, Ohio State was supposed to play at Illinois and at home against Nebraska and Iowa, so you'd probably keep the road game and get rid of one of the two home games, Nebraska or Iowa, to get it down to an 8-game season. For them, the toughest part for them is they have to go on the road and play Penn State, who was projected as a top 10 team. So that may be their biggest obstacle to winning the Eastern Division. They play Michigan at home this year. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, but there are some challenges on the schedule there for them as they get into it.
So it's there's no flexibility, as you mentioned here, with all of this. And I'm also wondering too about, because it seemed like momentum really picked up after Ryan Day put his statement out late last week about how unclear everything has been with communication from the Big Ten. What's the what's the confidence level in the commissioner, Kevin Warren, right now? Because this is obviously an unprecedented crisis, and it looks to us from the outside that he has handled it remarkably poorly.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, who would want to be in his shoes? I mean, Jim Delaney, you know, was a power broker and did that job for 30 years, but in those 30 years, he never faced anything like this crisis that we've seen. I mean, you could liken this to World War II or Vietnam or, you know, 9/11. I mean, this is one of the worst things that hit our society, you know, in the last 200 years. So the way it's kind of impacted things. So, yeah, he's been put in a tough spot. Could it have been handled better with more transparency and more communication? Possibly. He has readily admitted he didn't expect the backlash. I think one thing that may have turned things was maybe 10 days ago, President Trump picked up the phone and called him and said, look, what can we as the government do to help you, get you some fast reacting tests or whatever we can do to help you? And I don't think they want to admit that the tail wagged the dog and that he had a big hand in getting football back in the Big Ten. But that was another turning point, I think, as you kind of laid out there. I mean, again, there have been a lot of things that have happened since they canceled the season August the 11th, and now here we sit 36 days later, and they're playing football for some reason. So, you know, I think a lot of things happened, and again, I think the opportunity to have those fast return tests is probably the biggest among them.
I want to ask you a little bit about Nebraska, because they've kind of been the thorn in the side of the Big Ten office for a while. I mean, they have the press conference with the hot mic and all that happens, and then a Big Ten guy, Desmond Howard, goes on national television and says, well, Nebraska owes the Big Ten an apology. What do you make of Desmond's comments?
I have no idea what he's thinking, and you know, I mean, I could probably get myself in trouble thinking and saying a lot of the things I think about this. I'll just say this, that they showed the passion, and that people, you know, in this region, football means everything, just as it does down there in your region as well. And when it's taken away, I mean, that's like there's no Christmas, you know. So that was understandable that the people in Nebraska reacted the way that they did. The people at Ohio State reacted that way. And I think they were kindred spirits in this whole thing. I don't know where he gets off making a comment like that. I really don't. You know, I don't know if he has kids, if something of their passion was ever taken away, how would he feel? You know, I just don't understand. And he and Lee Corso, the first week, you know, say, oh, I don't think they should play. You know, and then you've had all these other national people who have come out against it, Dan Wolkin from USA Today, and et cetera. And yet all these people, then in the very next segment, the very next story, are covering the SEC with glee, talking about how could LSU repeat, who's going to come up in the East, and all this other stuff. Either you're for football being played or you're not. and none of these people had consistency in message at all. So I don't give what he said. I let what he says go in one ear and out the other, because most of it's nonsense.
I think we both agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.com. Just to kind of channel in on football here for a minute, Steve, just kind of give us a snapshot of Ohio State. I think we all know, but we may have forgotten some of the specifics on this is a loaded team that, as you mentioned, could very well be in the middle of the playoff hunt whenever that takes place.
Yeah, they put up huge numbers on offense last year. They lost the 2,000-yard rusher, J.K. Dobbins, who already had two touchdowns in his debut game for the Ravens this past week. But they've got Trey Sermon, transferred in from Oklahoma, and Master Teague, who was Dobbins' backup last year. Those will be the guys running the ball. Justin Fields back. He was the top vote getter, returning for the Heisman Trophy, finished third in that balloting last year. Just had an amazing season, only threw three interceptions all year. Just so happened two of them were in the playoff loss to Clemson. And one of them obviously came on the last play that they had when they were trying to go in for the touchdown to win the game or whatever, but I guess maybe would have been to tie the game. So, yeah, it was a crazy season for him, and I think they're going to put up big numbers again. They got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson back at wide receiver, and then they recruited really well. They got four national top 100 wide receivers in that class last year, Jackson Smith Najigba, Julian Fleming, both national top 20 players that'll be filling in at wide receiver. Defense got some holes there. You lose Chase Young, who was the All-American at defensive end, second overall pick. You got Zach Harrison, who was kind of an emerging player there. Some veterans at linebacker, but that's never been the strong suit of this defense. And you're hoping that Sean Wade, you know, who returned to Ohio State originally but then opted out over the weekend, hope that he'll come back, and that's up in the air right now. It looks like the All-American offensive lineman Wyatt Davis will go back on his decision to opt out and go to the NFL, and will do everything he can to get back on the team at Ohio State for this season. So get Wade back, and your defense has a chance to be special, because he could be a lockdown corner. And so, you know, again, like every year with Urban Meyer, they send 5, 6, 7 guys to the NFL, and you need 5, 6, 7 unheralded guys to come in there and step up.
All right, Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts.com, part of 247 Sports, our guest here on Ruskin and Zach to give us kind of the landscape of what's going on with the Big Ten. Thank you, Steve, as always. We appreciate it.
It's time to get ugly.
You're listening to Ruskin and Zach.
We are back here on Ruskin and Zach on the radio in Northwest Arkansas on ESPN 99.5, around the state on ESPN Arkansas, and streaming on hitthatline.com. Questions pouring in for Nikki Chavanel from hogbeat.com, part of Rivals, and we will ask some of those, and then just we'll just chat with Nikki like we always do. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm actually at a Target.
Oh, really?
So
you're at Target. Okay. I got a question for you. We'll start this off lighthearted. Okay, so let's say at a Razorback football game in the press box, a brawl breaks out. Who is the first media member to grab their purse and leave?
Grab what and leave their purse?
Yeah, but this is not female specific. Which media member's like, I don't want any of this, and leave?
Probably me.
No, Nikki, you're from Texas.
Although I'd probably be filming it and putting it on Twitter.
Right. So. Nikki, you're from Texas. You would jump right in the middle of it. Who's the first one to get up and leave? Is it Ruskin? Is it Wally, Ty, or neighbors?
I think it's Nate.
Nate would just
be annoyed by the
whole
thing.
You know what? If you piss Nate off enough, I don't want any part of that, because crazy with a cause is not something I want any part of.
Yeah, I agree with that. If it's not his situation, though, I feel like he's going to be right out of there.
Okay.
I'm not having any part of this.
Have you ever seen Nate have computer problems, Nikki?
Oh, it's the best. And then he got a new one, so it happened a lot less, but then he was frustrated because he had to learn to get comfortable with that one, so
yeah,
it was great. He had
the snafu on the Zoom with Pittman earlier this year. I can't hire the volume!
It's right. Yeah, that happened.
I had one of those, but I was on mute, and I couldn't get off mute. So, opposite problem.
I got hung up on the Zoom Thursday night, but it may have been on my end, not on their end.
I don't feel like it was an accident.
Maybe it was. I don't know. Who's on?
He's
out. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Like I've been telling the audience here, Nikki, we're kind of out of questions for the beat writers. Because, I mean, we make it a hashtag here. We need a game. Because, I mean, what else is there to say until we actually see a football game coming up here in about 10 days?
That's exactly how I feel. I am dying. I said to my friend the other day, this fall camp is entirely too long. I asked Grant Morgan the other day. I was like, all we're hearing is really, really great stuff, right? Like, at this point, I'm tired of hearing that. I want to see what's going to happen on the field. So, yeah, I need a game as well.
Yeah. What are we buying at Target today?
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Well, my parents are coming to visit in a month, and even though it's a month away, I, like, was kind of bored, and I wanted to decorate the guest room. So I left the boyfriend at home when I'm at Target myself.
Ooh, that's a rookie move on his part.
Is this the Rogers Target or the Fayetteville Target?
It's the Rogers one, yeah.
Okay. I feel like Target is underrepresented considering where we are. So I love to give Target a lot because it's the superior product, honestly, but that's...
It's nice for home items and, like, little style things. Yeah. I think Walmart for food is much better.
Are you buying the little soaps that you're not allowed to use? Because that's always a fun thing.
I have bought... I have 3 candles in my cart. It's not soap, but it's similar. Very little utility.
You, one of the things going on Hogbeat that you are doing is the recruits on Friday nights or whenever games are being played. You're kind of keeping tabs on, you know, stats and who's doing well and maybe even highlights from some of these games if you can get video of them or if you can. Like, didn't you go to Oklahoma last week?
Yeah, I went all the way to Oklahoma because there was a commit versus commit game. And anytime you can get 2 commits in the same place, you really got to go because you don't get those very often. And you get to knock 2 guys out at once. So I was out there. So Bryce Stevens had a really good night with 8 catches for over 130 yards and a touchdown. He looked really great. Solomon Wright, I mean, he was all over the field. But because I was, you know, watching the offense at the same time, it was very hard to see just how disruptive he was being. And he actually ended up with 10 tackles and 4 tackles for a loss. So by the end of the game, I was like, oh, man, he really was all over the place. But I was so focused on the offense, I didn't even realize it. But yeah, the internet these days, like, it's so much easier to be able to cover games and not even have to leave. But in that situation, I really wanted to get out there.
David Harrison has a great question. Why are you buying mood candles for your parents at your house?
those are for me. The candles, I just like having candles everywhere.
Okay. All right. So I'm assuming that on the recruiting front right now, as you're 10 days away from a football game, it's the recruiting has slowed down a little bit, focusing on the game. Are you expecting we saw a bum rush of commits over the summer, the spring, and the summer, because guys couldn't take their virtual visits. Do you expect this to slow down with the possibility of being able to take official visits as we get closer to signing day?
Yeah, that's what it seems like right now. They have 19 commits. There's only a few more spots left because Jaquelin Crawford is number 20, so there's only 5 spots. And then at that, you kind of have to see where your team is at. So you want to kind of wait for those last spots to see where you really need that extra depth. I think they get another offensive lineman, another defensive back maybe, another defensive tackle. But the guys left on the board right now, they are really hoping the NCAA might change some things so they can get a visit in. Like, there's an offensive lineman in New York who hasn't visited any of his schools, but obviously, being from up there, you kind of need to see where you're going and make the right choice for the right fit.
We're talking with Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat.com, part of Rivals, here on Ruskin and Zach. Yeah, well, what is the NCAA, I guess, policy right now? Like, how long is the dead period, the no visits? How long is that? Is that till the end of the year?
I want to say it wasn't until like the end of October, but they're just going to keep extending it.
Right.
I really don't, like, it doesn't seem that complicated to be able to test a kid and his family when he comes to campus, but I guess, like, you know, there's liability issues. It's not a student, and so I don't really know. It doesn't seem that complicated, but for them, apparently it is.
I'm imagining that you're probably hanging out in the Target right now, not actually shopping. What department are you in right now?
I am in the, like, the front door mat aisle.
Mm. Okay, so you're
in here, luckily, but people have
housewares. Housewares. Okay, so yeah. If you're headed to the Rogers Target, you know Nikki's in housewares. we've got a question. We asked today, who's the biggest former Arkansas jerk? Now, all of us in the media have had run-ins with guys that we like and guys that we don't. Who's the best person you've dealt with as a media person, and who is the worst?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm not going to call anyone out like that. Like, do you mean players?
Or coaches. Like, I'll give you an example. Charles Haley is the worst person I've ever dealt with in sports. He is an ass. A total D-bag. Now, Rodney Hampton, former Georgia running back, played for the Giants, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Charles Haley, I wouldn't
not
set
so
that,
much.
I would set that guy on fire. That's how bad he is.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, man. That really puts me on the spot. I don't know.
Oh, come on. You're in housewares at Target. I mean, what else you got going on?
I will say the SID that I dealt with at SMU, man, he was real trouble for me. Anytime I tried to talk to a student athlete, it was like a 2-week waiting period. And like,
I deal with an SID like that now.
Yeah, we can't relate to that around here. We can't relate to that. Yeah, everybody's got SID horror stories. The guy that used to do Razorback football under Petrino was just a total just. It was just. It's, the worst. The absolute worst. All right, we're talking about...
Can't use nice words, huh?
No. I could use a lot of words, but...
Make them nice.
I want to be invited back here tomorrow. he doesn't work at the university anymore, so it doesn't really matter. We're talking with Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat with us here on Ruskin and Zach. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to... We're a week and a half now from the football game. And by the way, for those of you listening, Sam Pittman has another radio show tonight at 7 o'clock that we will have on our air right after this show. So it's we're creeping up on it here. 10 days away from the opener in Mighty Georgia coming in here.
Are you going to get to go?
I actually will not. They sent out an email, I think last week, and it said one person per outlet. So that's, I mean, I could never take that away from Hutch. Not in a million years. I think he would die if he had to miss a game at home. So
I would do it just for fun. See what happens, and then give it to him at the last minute.
Wouldn't you know, she would take away the game from him, and it would be an upset, and he would miss out. For,
hey, David.
Can you standing outside the stadium gates, like, trying to peek through?
That's right, yes. David just texted, and he said to tell you he's across the street at a restaurant, so if, you know, if you're bored.
Oh, perfect. I think there's a Twin Peaks right over there.
That's perfect. There you go.
Ding!
Nikki, we got a question here from Steve. Do you like New York-style or Chicago-style pizza?
New York style, actually. I'm not into that deep dish game. Too much. Good.
When your pizza takes 45 minutes to an hour to cook, that's too much.
Right?
Greg in Fort Smith wants to know about field goal kicking. Apparently it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know that's riveting stuff in the housewares aisle at the Rogers Target.
These days in these long extended fall camp times, now I understand. So AJ Reed, the transfer from Duke, he was a Lou Groza Award finalist last year at Duke, so he's in here now, and it sounds like he's pretty much taken a hold of the starting job, although Scott Fountain has, you know, really kind of made it a big competition for them. So both the kickers, Matthew Phillips and A.J. Reed, and then the punters, Sam Loy and George Carrington, they're battling it out. I think the two transfers, George and Reed, are going to end up winning, but I talked to Reed the other night. He said he's good with, you know, perfect conditions. He could knock in 55 yarder like no problem. So that's what you like to hear. He had good percentage numbers. Don't have him in front of me right now, but yeah, I think that he's gonna be pretty solid for Arkansas.
How bad do your Texans suck?
Hey, one game against the defending national champs, okay?
They couldn't score in a brothel with a fistful of dollar bills. I mean, they're brutal, man.
God. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even mind if they tanked a bit, because then maybe they'll finally fire Bill O'Brien, so I don't really mind.
Did you enjoy DeAndre Hopkins' performance over the weekend with the Cardinals?
Oh, boy.
Sure.
14 for 157 in a game-winning touchdown? But at least you got the Patriots, right?
I always knew he was a great player, so it's like I'm glad that he's still doing great things, but I think like he tweeted right after the Texans lost, like something snarky. And
was it karma? Because that's always gone well.
Yeah, there was something like that, and it hurt me a little bit. I was like, you don't have to be like that, man.
I know what story you're referring to. He tweeted grateful, and said it was he was grateful that he was going to be on the Jimmy Fallon show that night, and it had nothing to do with the game on Thursday night. If you
like, right after they lost.
Yeah, that's what he said. So, I mean.
So, who are the Texans losing to this weekend?
I don't even know, man.
They got the Ravens.
They got Lamar and the Ravens. Ooh,
yeah. Great.
Mahomes to it, well, look at it this way: you're facing the two best quarterbacks
and getting out of the way early,
and you got your guy and you know that big bulky contract, so he can throw picks to you know nobody in particular.
Thanks, guys. I feel good about it. Hey, I
still got the pass. You still get to face Philip Rivers twice, and that goose is cooked. I mean, he is done. Yeah, that's right. All right, Nikki Chavanel, live from Target with us here on Hogbeat. Hogbeat.com here on Ruskin and Zach. Well, we'll let you get back to housewares.
What are we buying next? I mean, what's next on? Do you keep a list? Or
yeah, is this an errand run or just a Target run?
Are you just like a drunken wino wandering through Target picking up whatever looks good?
Well, we haven't really decorated the guest room at all. It's mostly been our dog's room. So I really have to get everything. Like, we don't even have curtains. So I have to do that and just make it livable and nice. I want them to
be
loud.
Is there a bed in there?
You know, I'm an adult.
There's a bed. Okay, yeah, all right. That's always a good start.
So you got to get a comforter and sheets and the whole thing.
What are you going to hang up pictures with really cool sayings on them? You going to have photographs, landscapes, and Ansel Adams in there?
The room is Parisian themed, if you can believe it.
I don't. Parisian.
We had a random piece of Eiffel Tower art that started the inspiration, and it's going.
Well, I would suggest a lava lamp and some stuff like that, you know.
Some bead curtains for the door.
Really class it up.
Waterbed, too.
Waterbed, there you go. Yeah, let's go full Greg Brady. Yeah. Full Johnny Bravo on this thing. All right, thank you, Nikki. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Nikki Chavanel, Hogbeat.com, part of Rivals with us
in her voice.
On Ruskin and Zach. Every time she does this show, she's like, why did I do this?
The bad boys of Arkansas radio.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
All right, back with you here on Ruskin and Zach. Manic Monday. All kinds of, man, the football games happen. You guys were watching. We got a ton of reaction to all the stuff coming in here. We'll keep reading those. Right now we're going to visit with Dudley Dawson from Hogs Illustrated and HologgSports.com. I know he was watching a football game or two this weekend. Dudley, good afternoon.
How are you guys doing? Or I already know. I've been listening, so y'all been fired up.
Well, it's just, we got tattled onto the AD today on social media.
What do you, percentage-wise, what do you think Hunter's going to call?
Probably.
He probably got other stuff going on.
I think he's got a little bit more to worry about than one Twitter fan complaining about us. But
He might want a COVID test yet too, though. But that would just be
enlightening. Probably test us for a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, he wants to jam something in our nose. That may be that may be true. All right, so we're less than 2 weeks now away from the Arkansas opener with Georgia, and it's kind of. What's your read on where things are? Where is Pittman and everything as they keep plowing away at this training camp?
Well, I guess we'll know a little bit more as we move along. He seems happy with some of the things that he's gotten. He knew what kind of roster he took over, so he knew that there was some talent here, but not enough to be anywhere near where the team that he just came from in Georgia. I do think it's interesting. We are now under this two-week time here, and these COVID tests they're going to have right now, three times this week, are going to be big because, if you don't pass it this week, then you're not going to get to play.
He said they're not going to start, Pittman did, they're not going to start Georgia planning for Friday until Friday. Your thoughts?
I am sure that is the wonderful coach speak that we hear so often. They may not be specifically pointing toward Georgia, but I guarantee you there's been a lot of tape watched over there. There have been a lot of coaches go over game plans and different things. So, you take everything with a grain of salt when you hear it come out of a coach's mouth.
Especially now.
Before preseason, yes.
Yeah, because as we get closer to games, it becomes more and more scaled back. I'm really kind of surprised, and this may be the last time today that they're letting the media have a viewing of a football practice.
Yeah, I think today and tomorrow, and then that's it. But the the thing is, you can talk all you want to, but in 2 weeks we will all see it up close and personal for 60 minutes, and so we'll have our own thoughts on it. So you're just kind of hedging your bets right now.
How confident are you they're going to win one game or more?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I mean, I think that they could very well be a better football team, and it should be a better football team this year than they were the last couple, starting with the coaching staff and all that. But that's a heck of a schedule you've got, and I can see them being better but going 0-10. Now, the odds are that they should have won 4 last year if they'd made better coaching decisions. So, I wouldn't bet the house that they would go 0-10, but I do think there's probably a win or two in there somewhere. Maybe Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Missouri, those kind of things you look at. I see a path to 0, and I see a path to 2, 3, or 4.
Well, we've corrupted Dudley Dawson with our path that. To language here and all of that. Dudley Dawson's with us here on Ruskin and Zach. About the recruiting growing up, but what was the recruiting around the Adams kid who had such a breakout performance for A-State on Saturday?
Well, he was he's the 2-star kid and really got more accolades on the basketball court at times than he did on football field, although he did have a pretty good senior year and a pretty good junior year. But he was 6'3", about 205, a lot of raw potential. I went back and looked today on the wide receivers that Arkansas signed in that class. Now, he didn't come to any of the football camps, didn't really play in a lot of the 7-on-7, so he didn't get seen as much as a lot of kids did because he was traveling playing AAU basketball. But I went back and looked at those kids. Malik Barkley, Brandon Martin, Jonathan Nance, and Davion Warren were the 4 kids that you signed as wide receivers in that class. At that time, 3 of those were 4-stars, 1 of them was a 3-star, and you're thinking, well, that's the person they need to offer, not the number 2, the 2-star guy. But this is what happens so often. Kids develop, and you got to give Blake Anderson and his staff a lot of credit for developing the kids they have over there, because sometimes they are the second choices and don't get the offers that a lot of people do. I mean, it really came down to Memphis, Louisiana Tech, in Arkansas State for Jonathan, and he has really developed and, in the first couple of years caught 25 passes and was their number 3 guy, but now he's as good as anybody that played on Saturday, certainly. And I watched those plays and thought, the former staff here could have thrown some of that Trey Knox and Traylon Burks way last year. So
it would have been helpful. I'll ask you, who's the better program? Right now, as we sit here, September 14th, who's the better program?
No, I think it's pretty simple. Arkansas State has a better team. Arkansas has a better program, as we're talking about sports in general overall. Football program, you could say Arkansas State, because they've certainly had success, and they have not had success here. But I think if you just do an overall program, where could you be best at? Then it would be at Arkansas, but it certainly hasn't been that way here lately because of the people they have chosen to lead the program. And now I think they've got a legitimate coach in here who should be able to start turning it around, although it's a long drive.
Yeah, a couple things here on that point. It always turns into people can't see what's going on. They get blinded by dollars and budgets and who's got more TV money and all these different things. It's fascinating what has happened over there with not just one move, but remember they went on that freeze Malzahn Harsin. I think I have the timeline.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah.
And then they got, Mahajer, the AD over there is just, He can pick them, apparently.
He's pretty good.
He's getting it done.
That's
getting
right.
It done. The, yeah, I grew up in just outside of Newport and went to tons of Arkansas State games, both basketball and football, when I was growing up. And it was really, you know, my team, per se, there early on. And I look forward to the day when Arkansas State and Arkansas plays each other. I know people get upset when I say that. I've been saying it for a long time. I understand why Arkansas didn't do it under Coach Broyles and times, but it, you know, it's time for it to happen. And if you lose, you lose.
No. I don't really know how to ask this question other than to be as subtle as a kick to the groin. Why do your Cowboys suck so bad?
Well, I mean, it's an art form. You know, you really, not a lot of teams can come up with so many different variations on how to lose a game. But we can change coach and still have some issues. I mean, I think they're going to be all right in the end, but I did not like third down and fourth down last night.
Well, the card they give you says you go for the tie and go to overtime.
Right, absolutely. And I know he wanted to show he was not Jason Garrett, and I
sure
got what he did.
This is just from ESPN Stats and Info. There was not a team in the league last year that went for it on fourth down when they were in the red zone down by three in the fourth quarter. Dallas never did it under Garrett. Mike McCarthy did not go for a fourth down inside the opponent's 35 in the fourth quarter when trailing by 3 points once in his 13 years with the Packers. What a weird deal.
But he set out last year and studied the analytics, and the analytics told him that's what you should do. Yeah, whatever.
Is
that the field goal and move on.
Is that the new thing in sports, is if a decision backfires, just blame the analytics?
Something like that.
Well, the book said, okay.
The analytics have been wrong here lately around here, haven't they?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the math guy couldn't get the analytics right. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday, all the NFL games?
Tom Brady has a chore to do it without Belichick. I mean, he's got guys who are going to have to learn how to win with him. And I know that's going to be frustrating to him. Also, he should throw it just to his team and not to the other team. That probably helps.
But, it does help, especially when they run it back.
But I tell you what, the first drive, I thought, well, here he goes. Look at him, 43-year-old, dancing in the end zone and spiking it. And then, you know, it kind of went away after that. New Orleans is pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, they are. We're talking with Dudley Dawson here on Ruskin and Zach. And another thing that I wanted to, going back to the Adams kid for a second, is that you get, and this is kind of what they're looking for here. When you hear Pittman and the first thing he talks about, people that want to be at Arkansas and are going to fight for Arkansas. I mean, that's kind of what Adams is at Arkansas State. Like, he was not really wanted all that, not really highly sought after, but he wants Arkansas State. He wants to, put everything out there for Arkansas State, and he got rewarded with this showcase. It's kind of like the blueprint of what, in some ways, Pittman's trying to get here to fill out some of these recruiting classes.
Yeah, especially when you're at Arkansas, you're not going to get the best kids in the SEC all the time. You've got to find the ones that have a ceiling that's higher than what you currently are getting, you know, out of high school. And obviously, I don't think development has been a big thing here the last few years. I think it will be under this staff. Again, we'll see, but that's Coach Pittman's track record. But yeah, Jonathan Adams, Blake Anderson gave him a scholarship offer when he was a sophomore and saw something there, potential and all that. He did, you know, he was not reaching that at the start, but he certainly did, and it's worked out well. And there is something to be said for having a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, and absolutely.
I want to maybe a cautionary tale, and I just want to get your thoughts on this. We saw it happen to Mike Norvell. He's got a much more talented team than Georgia Tech. You saw it happen at Iowa State with Louisiana. These first games are really tricky for coaches. They hate them because you have no preseason to speak of. Your information is somewhat limited. You're kind of guessing and feeling it out as you're going along. Arkansas can come in with something that, I mean, they're going to come in with things that, quite honestly, Georgia hasn't seen on film.
Yes, so that might trim it down. They might cover the spread. You know, we'll see. But the thing with Norvell, I think, and we saw a lot of this over the weekends, but I don't think he has his team yet in terms mentally. You know, he had some issues down there when he first got there, said a few things that turned out to not be true. His athletes called him out on it. So I think they'll mesh later on in the year, but he's got to win their trust, and they're not exactly a powerhouse program right now anyway, and I think we saw that again on Saturday.
No doubt about it. All right. Dudley Dawson, Hogs Illustrated, WholeHogSports.com with us here. Thanks, Dudley. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Later.
All right. Dudley and all our guests with us here on Ruskin and Zach here as we continue at 14 till the hour.